good news, everyone!
Time for fun!
It's time for another episode of Blessing of Frost, a World of Warcraft podcast hosted by Magic and Kern.
Hey there, and welcome to episode 9 of Blessing of Frost. My name is Kern, and with me, yet again, is Magic.
Yes, don't sound too excited, I know. It is just me, come on now.
Yeah, it's so thrilling to have you with me, and well, have me with you every single week. Like, why do we do this to ourselves?
I don't know, but I think thrilling is exactly the word that I would use for it.
Oh god, okay, yeah. So, Magic is here, how was your week?
My week was pretty good. A lot of, I guess, some raiding and Super Bowl action this week.
Yeah, it sounds like it was a decent week, which we'll get to in just a few minutes. But, we don't have a guest this week because we have such a large topic this week.
Yes.
I think everyone has been anxiously awaiting this patch, 4.0.6, which is supposed to be coming out today, February 8th, according to MMO anyways.
Well, it's a pretty long list of things. I'm kind of excited. It should be, I think we saw there was a blue post about it being tomorrow.
Was there a blue post? I didn't see a blue post.
Not sure. I guess there's just been a lot of talk.
Yeah, I know that there haven't been many changes over on the PTRs, and that the retail patch notes are already available, so all signs point to yes.
Excellent. Well, there's a large chunk of information and good stuff in there, so...
There's just so much.
Yeah, so let's talk about what we actually did this week here in NAP. What have you been up to?
Oh my god, I have been milling, and herbing, and farming, and therefore mining as well, and doing a lot of ripping people off, which is like my favorite thing to do apart from raiding.
What an interesting hobby.
It's so much fun, though. I think I've made something like 20,000 gold in just the last few days, and probably with an overall profit of like 12 or 13k, which I know isn't a lot for some people, but I've been busy with recruitment and such, so...
That's a pretty good chunk of change for the most part, especially if you're talking straight profit, you know, on top of... I assume you're referring to some Dark Moon cards.
Oh, yes, indeedy. I had a really bad string of luck. At one point last week, I made like 3 6 of stones in a row.
Ooh.
Brutal.
That's savage.
It really is. But overall, I did pretty well. I made a couple of cards that I actually needed, to fill out a couple of decks that I was working on. And, I got so screwed over. I like bought, I think it was, an Embers card or a Winds card, and I way overpaid for it, but I paid them back because I put up a Waves card for 4,999 gold,
it
sold.
Oh, God.
It sold.
Somebody just couldn't wait for someone to post a second one, I guess.
Exactly. So that was pretty hilarious.
That is crazy.
Let's see. In terms of raiding and stuff, I got the shoulders off Chimeron, which is nice. Wox, the other Holy Paladin, and I, we both got the same shoulders.
Oh, yeah,
off
double
of
dropped,
the same buff. Yeah, like, that's kind of just dumb, right?
But, yeah, I don't know how much I like that, you know, sort of new aspect of getting the same item. I guess it depends on if it's for you or not.
Yeah, like, I could have gone without it. Like, I was debating. I didn't even realize two had dropped it. I'm like, Wox, do you want those? And he's like, well, there's two. And I'm like, oh, really? Oh, man. I sort of felt obliged to, like, pick it up because it was an upgrade, even though it's not, like, my best in slot or whatever. But I felt obliged because I felt like otherwise I'd just be, like, hindering myself, you know?
I guess that's true. I mean, is it close to your best in slot at all, or...?
Well, my best in slot is my tier, which drops off of Cho'Gall, right? So, we could potentially be seeing Cho'Gall in the next week or so. Even tonight as we record this, yeah. So I don't know. You know, I picked them up. They look good.
Excellent. Well, that's half the battle.
Exactly. So, you know, I'm not really upset with picking them up. They're definitely not what I was anticipating getting.
Well, a fun little surprise during any raid is seeing loot drop that You're like, oh, that works, all right.
Yeah, it works. Similarly, I got probably what is a smarter choice in terms of Nex. I got the Wormbreaker's Amulet from Halphus, which has Spirit on it, but I think it also has Mastery, which kind of blows for me. But there was no way I was ever going to get the caster one off of Valiona and Thralion. So yes. I'm just like, yeah, I'll go with the Spirit one. Quite simply.
Yeah, that'll work. And you'll have a better shot at it probably than we have so many casters in raiding right now that, well, it's gone down a little bit recently, but there's generally a bunch of people going to bid on those straight caster necks.
Exactly. So I figure, whatever, I'll just get the Spirit one and I'll reforge the Mastery to Haste. I also picked up the Relic of Norgannon, which is actually like the caster relic. It doesn't have Spirit on it, but it's got Haste and Crit. So I took some of the Crit and reforged that to Haste. Dropped an Int gem in there, so I'm pretty pleased with that.
Caster Relic, so Boomkin?
Moonkin, Elemental Shaman, yeah.
Yes, Elemental Shaman as well.
And finally, when the fair opened up, I turned in my Tsunami deck that I had last month, really. Osafala gave me a card for like 20k or something, which was a lot cheaper than market value. And then Estrus had a deck, and she hadn't turned it in before the fair had ended, so I swapped the deck for the trinket straight up, because I hadn't equipped the trinket yet. Because I was doing okay on mana and stuff.
Gotcha.
So I tossed that to her. And so finally I got to turn my deck in and get my trinket this weekend, which was nice.
Well, congratulations. Getting those, some of those new cards are, well, almost all of them are pretty much insane, with the exception of, what is it, Earthquake?
Earthquake is terrible. But, oh, if any warriors, any tanks really are listening, it's great. You should buy one now.
Quickly,
the bargain
drive
basement
the prices
price of
up.
12k.
Yeah, well, they are pretty cheap, so.
Yeah, so I mean, it's good, I guess, if you're looking for, you know, a decent trinket. The trinkets can be a little difficult to find, I think.
Yeah, it's a starter tanking trinket at a low price of 12,000 gold.
The bargain basement.
Oh yes, I don't know. It's you have to be for a lot of the cards right now. You have to be pretty sure that they're going to be best in slot or close to it to spend that kind of money.
Yeah, I was really considering not getting the Tsunami deck and the card, but when Osafala offered it to me, I was just like, well, you know, that's a really good price for it, and, you know, that and the Core of Ripeness are going to, like, last me for a while. And then, with the patch notes, which we'll get into in a little bit, I learned that there's a new Alchemy Stone. So the Alchemy Stone is basically going to save me the Valor points from the Core of Ripeness. Like, I won't have to pick that up at all now. And that with my Tsunami card, like, those are going to last me pretty much this entire tier of content.
Well, that's a good thing.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, the money ends up being a drop in the bucket compared to the amount of time that you'd sink into Valor if you're trying to save for tier pieces or some of the like, where you can only, you know, tier pieces you can only get through Valor, so it's kind of rough to then, or it's easier to spend the money and be done with it.
Yeah. So that's basically been my week. Again, I didn't really spend a lot of time in game because I'm doing all kinds of recruiting and stuff out of game, really. And I absolutely took Friday off. It was glorious and delightful. I actually got to spend time with friends in real life. I took a bunch of photos with my new iPhone that I tweeted throughout my day, so that was a good time. Yeah,
sweet. That sounds like it does sound like a good time. Some outside of, although I unfortunately I haven't been on too often either. I've been working on the weekdays, and then weekends have been busy.
Yeah. So, but what were you up to?
Well, I've been doing, I guess, a relatively same amount of raiding as you, and then. What else? I got a few new pieces of gear as well, which are always exciting. I got the book off of Halphus, the Book of Binding Will, which is best in slot, well, the non-heroic version, best in slot for me. And taking advantage of the plus 100 intellect as long as I have it, aka till Tuesday.
Now.
Yeah, pretty much absolutely for a day or two. And then, as you mentioned earlier, I was able to pick up Valiona's medallion off of, you guessed it, Valiona.
So wait, I was actually competing with you?
Yeah, like, you could have, had you have thought about it.
That's really upsetting.
I was going to say, that would have made almost twice the reason to try and get that necklace.
Wow, and I missed out on that opportunity.
There's always another time. Now I just can't tell you what my loot list looks like. Yes. Anyway, so that was good, and I was, again, that's actually another best in slot, all heroic version, but same difference. And I got a Dark Moon card as well through help of you, and that's good. So Volcano is a pretty phenomenal card, and I'm excited to test it out at the raid tonight, Monday, and I guess tonight, Tuesday as well.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting. I haven't really used out my tried out my trinket either, so I don't know. Have you ever owned a Dark Moon card before?
Yes, I had the mana regen one, or like placed a shield on you, and then gave you mana at the end of it on the mage. But I used it mostly in PvP. I forget what the name was. Unless it was on the priest. I'm not sure. I forget what card it is at this point. But I certainly had one in the last expansion.
Interesting. I never got a Dark Moon card greatness, which I really, really, really wanted. I actually made a greatness deck and ended up, for some reason, giving it to my brother, who then took it for his hunter. And basically, every time like I'd run with him, it would proc like a million times. So I would keep hearing the owl.
Oh, yeah.
And I'd be like, you jackass.
Yeah, I remember being in some of those runs on the Death Knight. It gets kind of annoying pretty quickly. It procs fairly often.
Yeah, so, you know, apart from that, this is my first real Dark Moon card that I get to, you know, have myself, and I'm pretty pleased that it doesn't utterly suck.
Yeah, I think the power level of these cards is, I mean, I guess everything is more powerful, but the procs seem more interesting than previous ones.
They really do, and I'm pretty excited to see mine in action at the next raid.
Yes. And I guess I've been, well, helping you and doing some of my own card making as well, and I was up at about 7 o'clock this morning doing some card creation and farming, and as it would turn out, there's very little farming competition at 7 o'clock in the morning. Fun fact.
Yeah, UT is very much a server that actually goes by the Eastern Standard Time Zone. Like, you're not going to have a lot of people awake at 7 o'clock in the morning and farming.
Yeah, and so I usually do most of my herb farming in Oldham for Whiptail. And I got probably between 25 and 30 stacks this morning and milled it all down and got some cards.
Wow.
Yeah, I guess I was blessed in only flipping one stones. And then, what was it, two embers, a...
A winds and a waves.
Yeah, so that's not bad at all.
Not too shabby, for sure.
Yeah, and so, yeah, lots of herbing. You said you have a macro for your milling?
I do. It's
I do not, so I've been doing a lot of clicking this morning.
It's like slash cast mill or milling or whatever the actual thing is. And then on the next line, like, slash use Twilight Jasmine, and then slash use Whiptail, slash use Cinderbloom, slash use whatever. So as long as you've got, like, at least five, and stacks of five, multiples of five in your bags, like, that, you just keep using that, and it'll go through all of them in your bags. And I bind it to my one key, so I'm just, like, one. What?
That sounds way easier than what I did this morning. So
yeah,
I had it, I guess, on my two just for a mill, and then having to click through every single one. But
that's hideous.
Yeah, I do it the longer way, the way that doesn't use thought, just clicking.
Clearly,
but besides that, been rather uninteresting. I haven't done as much PvP on the priest, so yeah, not anything too exciting. So I guess we'll, with the end of the non-excitement of my week, we'll move over into hotfix, in which there's a rather huge hotfix. It's patch 4.0.6, and since it's our general chat topic, we'll skip that for now and keep that huge discussion for a little bit later. After that, looks like we have Slash Raid, new Apoth kills and upcoming raids and whatnot. And what do we have for that, Kern?
Well, we had an interesting raid week this week. We went in on Tuesday and Thursday and basically splattered everything that we'd already killed before, with the exception of Argaloth in Barad-dûr Hold, which we then told people to feel free to pug. That leaves one whole raid day, like, dedicated to Twilight Ascendant Council and possibly Cho'Gall. Now, normally we raid on Sundays, but yesterday was, of course, the Super Bowl. So,
of course, as I had to tell you. You know, it's not something you would naturally know, obviously.
Look, I would know about the Stanley Cup playoffs. I would not know about the Super Bowl. I do appreciate you informing me of the Super Bowl.
Excellent.
That was useful. I think we have enough people to scrounge up a raid for tonight, Monday night. And so by the time this airs, we may or may not have killed the Twilight Ascendant Council. I'm hoping that we did.
I have a good feeling about it.
Yeah. We seem to get into phase two pretty easily after just a few pulls.
I guess it could be mentioned that last week we did get to play with them a little bit, although not a ton.
Yeah, it was like four pulls or something. It was, it wasn't a clean segue into phase two, that's for sure.
Not quite.
But we learned a few things, like you got to run out for the glaciate and stuff, even if you're the tank. Stuff like that. Looking forward to the fight. So hopefully we did indeed kill them, but we won't know that for another like 4 hours.
And Cho'Gall.
That's going to be an interesting fight. That's like the worst of Yogg and, you know, anything else combined. It looks hectic.
Excellent. Well, I'm excited either way.
Well, yeah, me too, for sure. Also, my recruitment, work has really paid off. We got, Entropia, who is a new Rustor Shaman, who we have welcomed to the guild, and, Thurabas, I don't know how to pronounce that, who's a Moonkin. So welcome to you guys. And we definitely still like to see a Rustor Druid, and potentially another Elemental Shaman or even a Moonkin. One of our, Warlocks, one of our four Warlocks, has to take a step back from the game due to work stuff. So he's not going to be around for 2 or 3 months, which is seriously painful for
us. Very unfortunate.
Yeah. I mean, like, it's a good thing for him. He's excited about it, but, like, we're looking for a non-Warlock caster.
Yes, please. We do like Warlocks, but we have lots of them.
We have, like, 13 people on that token, too. Priests, Pallies, and Warlocks. It's terrible.
Yeah. That seems unfortunate. So no Shadow Priests, either?
No Shadow Priests, no Warlocks. That's about it. Yeah.
Got it.
Let's see. That's about it, really, for the raid week. Hopefully we kill Council. And then moving on, of course, we normally have Guild Tab here, but we have no guests this week because we have so much crap to talk about in general chat. So I think we will just move on to that.
Awesome.
Our topic of the week is patch 4.0.6. I don't know about you, Madge, but I remember like patch 1.07.
Yeah, we've been playing a long time.
I think we've been playing a little too long.
Yeah, that's pretty easy to say.
This patch is really a lot of bug fixes, a lot of tooltip updates. They've already done and implemented a lot of stuff that won't actually show up in your tooltips until the patch drops. So I'm kind of unsure, actually, as to what's already implemented, but I do know that as soon as the patch drops, all of it will be implemented. I'm excited about that.
Yeah, it's kind of nice because a lot of the abilities say they do something, and then the tooltip says it does something else, and then it actually does what it says on the spell, and it's just kind of annoying to actually figure out what's going on.
Exactly. It's kind of annoying to have not, you know, imprecise information.
Yeah, and it's not like imprecise information from a third party. It's my tooltip is saying something wrong. So you can't even go to the game to get your correct information, you know, what's left.
Exactly. I personally, I've been a little bit frustrated, but all of this will go away magically as soon as the patch drops. So I'm anxiously awaiting it.
Yeah, it should be good. And there's so much stuff. It's kind of hard to actually root through all these, the whole set of patch notes. Just the pure hugeness of it all is kind of intimidating.
It really is. It's just so overwhelming, the amount of changes and details that are getting changed. So we're not going to cover it all. I mean, obviously that would be dumb. Who wants to hear me and Madge sit here and, you know, read the patch notes verbatim? Nobody.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, we could go even farther. Who wants to sit there and hear me?
Exactly.
Just reading anything.
Yeah, so what we can do is we can break it down a little bit into chunks, like professions and classes and PvE and PvP stuff. We won't cover everything. We just sort of picked out what sort of stuck out to us as at least moderately interesting or important. And bear in mind that we don't play half of the classes that are mentioned, so what we think is interesting or cool may in fact not be remotely useful or helpful or what have you.
Yeah, just from a lot of the things that I pulled out and put on our doc, I can say that there's a lot of things where things are going up a certain amount of percent or down a certain percent from talent points and that kind of thing. We won't mention on every single one.
Yeah, basically you do want to read the patch notes, at least for your class and your abilities and stuff. Hopefully our awesome conversation will I don't know, entertain you while you're waiting for the patch to download or waiting for the servers to come up.
Or if you're too lazy to read the patch notes, not that I know anybody like that, then this is your short version. Hopefully we cover a class well that you play.
Yeah.
So, go ahead and kick it off.
All right. Let's look at professions first. I'm an alchemist, and actually, you know what? Before we start in with the professions, I put up on my blog at Kern's Corner, I put up a poll asking people what profession they thought was the worst level. And overwhelmingly, out of 40 votes, the top vote getter was archaeology with 17 votes.
Wow. Actually, the hardest versus the worst level? That's something different than what we actually had last week, isn't it?
Oh, you know what? You may be right. Okay. Well, anyway, just another perspective on professions.
Interesting.
All right, so alchemy, yeah. I'm an alchemist, and I was really excited to see that they're adding actual alchemist stones that don't suck. The one that we currently have gives you a chunk of mastery and stamina, and yeah, that's about it. Plus, of course, the 40% extra benefit from mana or health potions. So, like, you know, as a healer, 40% of the mana potion is awesome. But mastery as a pally, holy pally, not so much. It's actually part of my ret set at the moment.
There's a lot of classes where it's sub, you know, there's definitely the primary stats are so strong at this point that you would never stack mastery over. Right now they're going to be adding stones for agility, strength, and intellect. So there's almost, there are very few classes I know of that are stacking mastery over any of those hard stats.
Agreed. And so I'm personally really looking forward to the intellect, and it comes with a hefty chunk of haste as well. So that'll be nice. And then for everybody else, this is good news. They are nerfing the mats required to make a flask. Instead of needing 24 herbs, you'll need 16 herbs. So instead of 12 of each, you'll need 8 of each. The one thing is that volatile life requirement is going from 6 to 8. So you'll need 8 of one herb, 8 of the other herb, and 8 life for one flask.
So it's all even now. It's just volatiles are the life ones are easier to come by, but it's still not easy.
No, it's not. And, you know, I was actually really excited when they launched Cataclysm because I was like, hey, volatiles, it's not like this stupid essence of, or it's not the motes or the crystallized that, like, you combine.
Oh, the lesser and the greater.
Yeah. Like, you just have the one. It's like the essence is back in vanilla. And I'm like, sweet, I can get on board with this. But they require so many of the volatiles. It's just like, well, crap.
Exactly. And, like, any of the recipes, the higher-end recipes are, like, 30 of this or 40 of that. So it can get annoying real quick, especially when some of the harder-to-find volatiles are anywhere between, what, like 25 to 35 gold each?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Like, air is still ridiculous.
Yeah, so it is helpful in reducing the herbs, and I guess that sort of changes your math for buying stacks, though, right? Or not quite.
It's 24 and not 36? No.
Yeah.
Yes. No.
36.
Well, can't do math.
Yeah, it's 24 herbs for per flask to 16, so it's 8 of each, and if you're doing 3 for 3 flasks for a raid night, then it's still 24 of any given herb. So you still need more than one stack, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Sadly. So, yeah, they didn't quite
much
make
more.
It. Yeah, they didn't quite make it too much easier if you aren't buying your mats.
Let's see. Archaeology. Those gray artifacts you create, I hope you haven't sold a whole bunch of them, because they're bumping up the price, the vendor price of them, with the patch, which is actually kind of ridiculous. There's a dwarven one that's going to sell for like 300 plus.
I'd say it's a pretty significant change from what I've... although, to be honest, I've made none of the gray ones yet. But just from reading what they're changing to, it looks like a pretty significant change.
It's pretty huge, which is nice. They're also changing how you get your skill. The sort of, the sort of conventional method right now is to get to 90 or 100 or anywhere in between and then start solving. So you're getting to that point just by digging, and it's so painful. Like, that's why you should do it only at 100 is when you should start solving.
Right.
But like, as soon as you hit 90, like, everything's green and you're never getting like a skill up. I think I made it to like 95 before I wanted to blow out my brains and decide, okay, I'm gonna start solving now.
Exactly.
So what they're going to do is you're going to get a point guaranteed for every dig that you do up until 50, and then that's when you're going to want to start solving, because I believe after 50, you don't gain skill from digging anymore.
Okay. Well, then at least it's sort of a hard cap to say, all right, it's time now for you to start doing it.
Yeah, which is really nice. All artifacts are going to be capped at 200 of each race. They're not going to get rid of any extraneous ones you currently have, but they may do so in the future. But definitely start solving, like, soon to get under 200 for each race.
Yeah. I mean, for the most part of the reason you'd have more than 200, I assume, is if you're starting to level it all the way to 100 first, and then you're going to save up artifacts pretty quickly. But is there a time when you would have more than 200 saving?
I don't think so, unless you just haven't been making the stuff, like, purposely, and you just actually really enjoy digging. I don't know. The really crazy people out there. But for all you crazy diggers, rejoice. You will have a 3-second cooldown on survey, down from 5, which is really helpful when you're going from, like, you know, a green spot to where, you know, the thing is actually going to end up being.
Yeah, or green spot to green spot to green spot.
Yeah,
which is
sure.
I've done once or twice. What else? Enchanting has changed a little bit. Sadly, as I mentioned before, my sweet 100 int offhand is going from 100 to 40, which is depressing.
I know. I'm really upset about that, because the major reason that this is happening, I think, is because so many casters and some healers are giving up the use of a staff for, you know, the main hand offhand, just because the offhand enchant is so amazing. And I'm like, well, okay, Pallies don't have the option. Pallies are stuck with, you know, the main hand and a shield. So just give me an enchant shield intellect 100, and I'll be happy. I don't understand why I get to be nerfed because of some people who want to carry a big stick.
Well, if the stats... Well, I mean, I guess post-patch the stats will be closer, but previously it was never even a question. Just main hand, offhand was always better than, you know, a two-handed staff, even though staves look much cooler.
They do. But I guess that the looking cool factor just doesn't work when you're in end game content.
I guess that's true.
I still don't think that I should be nerfed because of you.
Well, that's just a side effect and bonus to my nerf. What
We're
else?
Also gonna see some new enchants, right?
Yeah, the new bracer enchants.
Yeah, those are going to be sick. 50 agi or strength or intellect to your racers, and I'm pretty sure that they're going to require maelstrom crystals. Brutal.
Yeah, those are like still really expensive, so it can be a pain to get those high level enchants.
I'm so nowhere near requesting that, like, at all. I've got 316 blue racers, no joke.
Yeah, I'm excited to go. I can actually drop whatever I had and go straight to the intellect, but it should be almost a straight upgrade.
Nice.
Yep. Jewel crafting changes. Sadly, well, not sadly, I don't know much about it, but what can you tell me about these jewel crafting changes?
Actually, they're all pretty sweet. The chaotic and relentless metagems that have been around since launch, which required like blue gems or some crazy combo, will now require 3 red gems to activate, which is excellent news for everybody.
Yes, because previously we were using subpar versions of some metas just because you required more blue than red, which is not good for just stacking it, at least for me, and I know a lot of other classes. I mean, red gems are just better for the most part.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, red gems are the primary stats. So, like, I think it was you had to have more blue than red gems, which is ridiculous. So they've changed that to now require 3 reds, which is great. Like, everybody loves a red gem.
Oh, yeah.
And then there's also 3 new meta patterns that are world drops that are unbound. They are the Agile, the Reverberating, and the Burning Shadow Spirit Diamonds. And they all give you 3% critical damage plus agility, or strength, or intellect. So definitely look for those recipes at your local auction house and be prepared to pay out the wazoo for them.
Yeah, those are going to promise to be insanely expensive for a pretty good amount of time, because they are world drops, right?
Yeah, world drops, unbound. So, like, if you find them, like, put that up there for, like, a chunk. Don't, like, ruin the market for anyone else who's, like, really lucky. Unless you want to just, you know, mail that to your friendly neighborhood jewel crafter.
But,
like me.
Or you could sell it for, what do you think that'll end up selling for?
Oh, just the pattern, easy a couple grand.
Yeah, I guess it depends on how often it drops. If the drop rate's lower, you could see anywhere for the first one going between, what, I'd say 10 to 15,000.
Oh my gosh, yeah, for sure. Like, yeah, as long as like 5 of them don't drop off, like the first 5 mobs that are killed, you know, like, yeah, you're really gonna be able to benefit from that if you're one of the lucky people. And if you're a jewel crafter, gosh, I hope you've been saving up.
Yeah, it's interesting because a lot of these profession changes are all adding to ways just to stack more of those raw hard stats like int and strength. Almost every single one of these is adding ways to get more of that.
Yeah, that's very true. I think that they're sort of making good on what they were telling us pre-Cataclysm, is that we're really going to focus on these stats. Like, you know, Kings and Mark of the Wild only benefit, you know, Stam, Agi, Strength, and Intellect. Like, it doesn't even count for Spirit anymore. Like, they're really focusing on these primary major stats.
Yeah, so all those changes are pretty good, just to let you stack on a few more, you know, more int, more strength, more agi for the classes where it matters.
Yep.
What's here? Leatherworking. Again, and we'll have to inform me a little bit, because the 500 to 510 is not going to suck. Yeah, I guess that's your abbreviated version.
Yeah, I'm not really sure. Like, they weren't very, I guess, open with the changes, but I gotta say from experience that, like, 500 to 510 leatherworking was absolutely the worst 10 levels of any profession I have ever leveled, ever. It was just so brutally painful just to get the patterns, just to, you know, skill up from them. It was brutal. And the mats for each one, it was terrible. So my guess is that they have changed it so that a couple of patterns will stay orange a little bit longer, or they've put in some of those multi-point gains for a couple of patterns.
Gotcha.
But I can't confirm that. That's just my guess. But hopefully it will no longer suck. And yes. Yeah. So good luck to all of you young leather workers out there.
So I guess we'll see about that one. Tailoring. Dark Glow now gives you spirit, not mana, which is good.
So Dark Glow for healers and Light Weave for casters.
And Lightweave has changed semi-recently to do, it'll give you int. Well, it's, again, the same thing with this is that on the spell itself, it says that it gives you a certain amount of spell power. Then when it procs, the tooltip says it's giving you a certain amount of intellect, but then it's actually giving you the spell power, like, on your character sheet.
But I think it's actually giving you the intellect. And because intellect is one for one the same as spell power in terms of actual raw power. But I think it's currently giving you intellect, and I believe that that is correct. And so there should be a tooltip change.
It's not. Because I was watching when I actually did that test earlier today and procced it, and it did, the intellect did not change, and the spell power did.
Really?
Yep. Absolutely. Oh.
Okay, so I fail.
No, it just means you didn't do your research, which for you
I'm
was surprising.
I'm not a tailor. I have no stake in that.
That's funny, because I actually was speaking, that was something Obscene asked me not an hour ago about that specifically, because of the weirdness and the tooltip and the conflicting description of the proc, so.
Well, we've been talking about it on Twitter. I know O's been talking about it with, like, Derevka from Tales of a Priest, and Dekwil Ava from Tales of a Priest as well, and various people. Twitter has been a Twitter about the different enchants for cloaks.
It looks like this spirit one will probably outweigh the spell power one, though, for healers, I'd have to guess.
Yeah, I think so, too. It's just really nice to have, like, the proc. Even if you don't need, like, constant spirit, it does make a difference. Like, I notice when I don't have Heartsong on my weapon, like, when I got that, that made a huge difference for me.
Interesting. Cool. Well, yeah, I guess that's a lot of the profession ones that stuck out. Except the one thing I saw in cooking, which is multiple spawn locations now exist for the confectioner sugar. I'm just interested, is that a big difference? I've not done that daily.
Well, here's the thing. I've done the daily several times, and I've never had a problem finding the bag of sugar. I mean, ever. Any one of the houses I go to that, you know, should have one, has one. So
interesting. I wonder if some people were complaining or something.
Or maybe it's been hot fixed, and that's just a... I really don't know what's been implemented and what hasn't been, really.
Gotcha. All right, well, I guess we could move into the classes at this point and take a look at some of the bigger changes that they're making.
Yeah,
who
here's...
do we have up first?
The Death Knight, which is hilarious because I don't play one, and Magic Last played his at 80.
Yeah, I have not touched my Death Knight in a while. So I guess... what are some of the interesting things here? Death Coil damage has been reduced by roughly 10%. That sounds unfortunate.
Well, unless you're PvPing against one.
Yes, well, when I remember PvPing, it used to be a pretty good ability and hit for a pretty serious chunk of health, so maybe that we're having some issues with that.
Sounds likely.
Yeah. Icebound Fortitude now breaks stuns when used in addition to providing immunity to them, which
wow.
Yeah, that is something I definitely noticed back when I was PvPing again on the Death Knight and popping. You had to, like, try and predict Icebound Fortitude as opposed to being able to, just pop it once you're actually stunned.
Wow, that's insane.
Yeah, it's a serious upgrade, or maybe it's something that it should have been all along. I don't know. Bone Shield has 4 charges up from 3, another just direct
solid
upgrade. What else? Death's Advance, new talent, which is PvP related, looks awesome when both of your unholy runes are depleted. Movement impairing effects cannot reduce the Death Knight below 75 or 100% of normal movement speed.
Wow, so if you have no unholy runes and you got 2 points in that talent, you cannot be slowed.
Yep.
Wow.
That's what it seems like.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, that seems pretty much, I mean, it's obviously a straight buff for PvP, but that seems incredible.
Wow.
It looks like it sort of goes hand in hand with, I know the Paladin, what is it, long Arm of the Law or something like that, where if you're judging outside a certain distance, it gives you a speed boost.
Yeah, yeah.
that talent seems out of control, and I saw him for the first time semi-recently, and it's a hit is crazy, and I guess maybe that's something they're trying to make up for in melee DPS, is making sure they can keep up with their target.
Yeah, making sure that, you know, a rep pally can't kite you.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, I don't know. There's, again, a lot of fixes and changes from percentages on talents and that kind of stuff. But since neither of us really actively play Death Knights, not exactly sure what these huge changes there are in here.
Yeah, so that's definitely a class that you want to look up if that's when you play.
Yes, because we don't have a ton to say, unfortunately.
With regards to druids, probably the biggest thing that surprised me is that shapeshifting no longer removes roots.
At all?
Well, at the baseline. It will remove slows, though. But restos have a passive specialization bonus that lets their shapeshifting get them out of roots, and moonkin form alone, when they shift, basically, that'll get them out of roots as well. So it's basically just ferals that are screwed.
Oh, nice. So it's almost the opposite. They're making it easier to kite them.
Yeah, but I mean, like, they have dash, they've got feral charge, both types. So, I mean, like, they have their gap closers as well.
True.
Something that really interested me, because, you know, I play a healer, resto druids are going to be able to use rejuve and wild growth more, due to lower mana costs and, lower cooldowns. So it's interesting, but, you know, just thinking about that, does that mean that we're going to go back to the sort of wrath era style of druid healing? I kind of hope not, because I like being able to have the druids, you know, be a little bit more versatile than they were in Wrath. Yeah. In Wrath, you generally, like, just, you know, would throw wild growth and sprinkle rejuve across the raid. So it's like you would blanket the entire raid in hots, and that was, like, the best way for them to heal. It was pretty ridiculous.
It's always better when you have any of the classes being able to be more versatile and being able to tank heal or group heal or anything like that, just because it can break up the monotony and give you the ability to just experiment more on different fights where you may have to do something out of the ordinary.
Yeah.
And just bringing that limit back is a step in the wrong direction in all ways.
I tend to agree. Although I guess when they sort of introduced the different abilities that the different healers had, I kind of liked the fact that everyone had a niche in Wrath. I do like that they're sort of consolidating and, like, the different healers so that we can do basically anything regardless of our class.
Right.
But I do miss having, like, specific niches for everyone.
I guess again, it's another one where we'll see what happens. Depending on what the fights look like as well, and the next tier of rating could make a difference.
Oh, for sure, absolutely.
So Hunters, yes.
For the last couple months, survival has been the king. You're getting nerfed. Sorry. Beast Mastery and especially Marks are getting buffed. And we're talking, like, huge nerfs to Explosive Shot and Black Arrow. That's 15% less damage to each.
Wow.
And I know, it's brutal. Like, Explosive Shot, that's, like, your key spell there. And then you're also going to get a nerf to the Survival Specialization, which would give you extra agility. So you would get 15% extra agility. Now you're only going to get 10. That's a lot, because you're getting 2 ranged attack power for 1 agi. So 5% less base agi is just painful.
Yeah, that is a lot of just straight up downgrades. That's unfortunate.
That's a lot of nerfage. Yeah. But Beastmaster Hunters with Animal Handler will get 25% extra AP, up from 15. And Marks get 50% extra damage from Chimera Shot. The Mastery's been upped a chunk. Aimed Shot's getting more damage and a reduced cast time, and Arcane Shot's getting a buff. And more importantly, this actually affects all hunters. Auto Shot can now be used while moving.
Wow, that is removing a lot of the lower level, like, kiting, stopping, and all that stuff. I feel like it's kind of taking a weird chunk out of the game.
It really is. Like, it can be viewed as a buff, but for me, I'm kind of sad, because, like, there was a certain rhythm to, like, kiting while, like, shooting the mob, like you would have to stop every so often. Like you would have to know when your auto shot was going to go off, so you could pause for that half second, let it get off, and then keep moving in order to maximize the amount of damage you were doing.
Yeah.
And I'm a huge fan of kiting. I still love it, and that kind of makes me sad. Just because all of those skills, like, who needs those skills now? It's like double trapping back in the day. Like, you don't need these skills anymore.
I guess sadly, we're just kind of reminiscing of what was, because it is realistically just a straight-up upgrade.
It really is. I'm just sad about the mechanics, I guess.
Yeah.
But definitely check out MMO Champion for more details. Basically, hunters overall are going to be much stronger in all three specs. All three are going to be much more equal to each other. And even though survival is getting nerfed, I mean, you know, the auto shot buff affects them as well. So there are several other changes that you should all check out.
Yeah. All right, next up, looks like we have mages. A lot of little changes, a lot of mana reduction in base spells. Fireball going down to 9%, Arcane Blast mana cost reduce, Barrage mana cost reduce. A lot of all-around buffs for most of that. There's, on a counter spell, originally when you countered a school, it used to lock for 8 seconds. It's down to 7.
Ooh.
On spell lockdown.
Well, that's good news for me.
Yeah, exactly. So that's a slight nerf. I don't know. Flame Orb ignoring critters, which in most raid settings is not going to make too much of a difference, but critters won't be able to soak up any of those blasts off of Flame Orb, which will be nice, I guess.
Again, that's helpful.
I haven't been in too many situations where it's been make or break the critter getting in the way, but it is a buff. Armors, like mage armor, frost armor, and molten armor are all free to cast and switch between.
That's good.
Yeah, so that's not bad. The question is it going to be any more worth switching between for mana regen? And I think that for the most part, the answer is still going to be no, as long as you're fire. Because of the crit bonus and Scorch and being able to just spam Scorches to proc Pyroblast and just go with that. That damage is not terrible, and it's probably not worth switching armor, so yeah.
Hang on a sec. I'm going through the patch notes. Where did it go? But yeah, due to Firestarter, like, that's being changed, right? So that you can cast Scorch while moving regardless of what armor you've got up?
Yeah, so now instead of Firestarter the talent, instead of as long as you have Molten Armor on, it does it and then removes the, I believe it's 3% reduced chance for you to be crit. Now it's just you can cast Scorch on the run and Molten Armor will still have its crit reduction on you.
So, I mean, does that mean that, well, apart from the crit, does that make it a little bit easier for you to switch into mage armor for the mana regen?
Sort of. I mean, it'll still let you keep the mobility, but at the same time, just being able to proc Hot Streak off of crits with Scorch, and since Scorch is still, or assuming you're talented into it, which you should be, Scorch is free. So you can be empty on mana and still tossing out Pyroblast and still regening mana because you're not spending any.
Interesting.
Yeah, so the loss in... There's not such a huge loss in DPS where it's worth switching over because the crits are still so good.
Okay, very cool.
Yeah. An interesting PvP change: when a mage uses invisibility, it will now make their water elemental invisible as well, which is always pretty comical in the arenas when you see just the water elemental running around. It's like, wow, anybody could be there. Anybody at all. So
wait, when did they introduce invisibility? Was that at level 70 in BC?
I believe so.
So you're telling me that for the last 2 years?
Yeah, people have been running around next to their water elemental, not invisible. It feels like a change that should have been made a while ago. But
yeah, way to go, Blizz.
Yep. And then a pretty... a pretty big one, Flashburn, the Fire Mastery benefit per mastery has been increased by 12%, so that's a straight up buff.
That's large.
Yeah, 12% is pretty huge. And it, Mastery was already being stacked a little bit higher than Haste, so it'll just get better. I guess the only other one I had on here was Living Bomb Mana. Mana reduced by 22%, which is a pretty significant amount.
Well, yeah, that's good. Maybe you guys can pick up the slack where the poor Warlocks are going to be nerfed.
Yeah. And same thing, it looks like Arcane Brilliance has been reduced 16% mana, and it looks like across the board on all classes, raid-wide buffs are being increased or decreased to align themselves with Mark of the Wild.
Right, well, that leads us into the Pally changes. The cost of Blessing of Might and Blessing of Kings has been increased by approximately, 217%?
Yes, a pretty hilarious percentage.
to bring it on par with Mark of the Wild. Pallies, which I'm obviously more conversant with than the other classes, are changing quite a bit. First off, the biggest change is that the Retribution Mastery completely changed. Instead of giving it, like, basically a free Templar's Verdict or Word of Glory or whatever uses Holy Power, instead of giving them that, which is turning into a talent, it now gives them extra holy damage based on the damage done by Templar's Verdict, Crusader Strike, and Divine Storm, and based on how much mastery they have. So that's kind of a big change for them. I think it's a buff, really. Their mastery seemed kind of interesting, but more like a talent interesting than a mastery interesting, you know?
Yeah, that's sort of what it sounds like.
And I like that it's holy damage, because, I mean, that's what a Ret Pally does. It's good to see them, you know, bringing in holy damage again.
Yeah, holy damage is something that I guess has always been strictly for priests and paladins, and since there's no resistances to it at all, at least in the PvP aspect, it's a pretty powerful, a pretty powerful school of magic.
Yeah, I totally expect that to get nerfed in the next patch, but we'll see.
Yeah.
Something that's good for all paladins, we get Rebuke, which is an interrupt on a 10-second cooldown. It used to be a talented thing in the Ret Tree, but basically all pallies get that now. So that's great. That's great for tanks. It's great for holies who want to help out. Like, I can help interrupt, the Shatter Nova on Hellfist, because I can bubble and, like, run up and be right there ready to, you know, interrupt him when he casts the Shatter Nova.
Interesting. Good.
Unfortunately, with this good news comes bad news, and it's mostly in the form of Holy Pallies getting screwed over.
Hooray!
Divine Light, Holy Light, and Flash of Light spell costs all up by 10% apiece. Protector of the Innocent, which personally I don't like, but recognize the need for, is being nerfed by 30%, and therefore our heals that are transferred through the beacon, again, that there's that nerf. But possibly most important, Lay on Hands will no longer crit, it will no longer transfer through a beacon, and it will cause forbearance on anyone you hit with it.
Jeez.
Yeah. The upside, though, is that forbearance is now only going to be a minute long instead of 2 minutes. But it's like, every time they want to, and I use this word loosely, balance something to do with paladins, they just incorporate forbearance. It's like... For a while when we got Avenging Wrath and they didn't want us to use it while bubbled, they put forbearance on it. And it's like, okay, fine. And they've changed that. But now it's like self-lay on hands caused you forbearance. And now it's like, well, anybody who gets lay on hands gets forbearance. It's like, seriously? Really? Do you... why does this mechanic even exist? I just don't understand. So it art obviously makes me a little bit angry.
Okay. I can tell. Just a tad.
Yeah, just a bit. Well, I mean, it's historically, you know, Lay on Hands is historically one of our, you know, oh crap, use it to save the day abilities.
Right.
And now that we have Forbearance, and there are still other things that cause Forbearance, like Hand of Protection and Divine Shield, like, it's going to be a little more difficult to, like, pop it at a good time and all that. And that it can't crit? Are you kidding me? We only killed Lady Vosh back in SSC because my Lay on Hands crit Dayden for like 15k, and we got her down in like the next 15 seconds. Like, the fact that we won't be able to do that again makes me really sad.
Yeah, there were some pretty humongous numbers off of that that will just, I guess, never be seen again.
I once crit-flew through Dreamwalker for over 1 million.
Nice. That was a probably hilarious number popping up.
I laughed very, very hard. So there's that. Then also Divine Plea. Right now it gives you 10% mana back every 2 minutes over 15 seconds, but it halves the amount you heal in that time. That's just ridiculous. So what they've done is they've given it a slight bump to 12% mana over 9 seconds. So we're getting more mana back over a shorter amount of time. And the glyph is now adding 6% instead of 5%. So we're now getting 18% mana over 9 seconds every 2 minutes, which is a buff, which is great.
Exactly. Any decrease in the time is
huge.
Better, exactly, because it's going to limit the amount of time that you're healing for half, and you're regenerating mana faster than previously. Like, you can't really go wrong there.
Exactly, and I won't necessarily feel like I have to blow some of my throughput cooldowns just to deal with the debuff. Like, I might actually have 9 seconds in a fight where I'm literally not doing enough that matters in order to have to pop cooldown.
Well, that sets off a pretty good chain reaction of being able to keep a trinket for later and then, you know, just making sure that you're have enough cooldowns to cast that on a more consistent basis.
Exactly. So Pallies are sort of meh, but then there's one last nerf that I have to mention, which makes me really sad. Crusader Aura will no longer work with Aura Mastery.
I guess that is unfortunate.
It's so sad. I can hear right now, thousands of Holy Pallies specking right out of it. Don't do that. Like, seriously, stick with it. It's useful for resistance aura, if nothing else. But, yeah, I mean, that was part of our fun. Why
Extra
take away our fun?
Off.
It's so good.
Because World of Warcraft's not about fun. Come on now. It's about killing bosses.
Killing internet dragons.
Exactly. Alright, so after that, looks like we got the Priest, which had a slew of changes. Looked like they actually made a pretty serious difference.
Yep.
The first change on the first part of the patch, the duration of Levitate has been increased to 10 minutes, up from 2.
What is up with that?
Yeah. Well, that was really funny because I actually came into contact with that issue today, which is very strange. Before I read this, and when I was off herbing and milling today, I was one of the easiest to get to safe places is the middle of a lake. And I found myself milling and then kind of not AFKing, but mispaying attention and then falling into the water after, 2 minutes.
So wait. In order to mill safely in Uldum, you stand in the middle of the lake, on top of the lake, and you just mill there.
Yes, that is what I was doing. For most of the time, since I'm farming near water through the lakes and the streams, that's where all the tail is. So I always end up near one of those, and I thought it would be funny to just mill in the middle of the lake.
I wonder how many priests are doing that.
I can't imagine it's too many, but I enjoy it.
Interesting.
It's because I find myself, and then I actually, again, I've been using it a lot because you find yourself on foot trying to just fear crocolisks away and then run after herbing, so I don't know.
Runaway little girl.
Exactly. Runaway. The mana cost of Power Word Shield has been increased by 31%, but its effect has increased by 208%.
Holy crap!
Yeah, so that's kind of crazy. 208%. I guess previously it just wasn't absorbing enough? I don't know.
I guess? Holy jeez!
208% is a... pretty big percent.
That's a large number.
Exactly.
That's almost as much as the blessings were increased in mana cost.
Right.
Jeez.
Mana cost of Renew has been reduced by 24%. That's a pretty big chunk as well.
Yeah, that smacks at the same thing that they're doing to the rest of Druids with Rejuve, which is down from 26% to 20%.
Yeah. Prayer of Healing effectiveness has been reduced by 15%.
Sad panda.
Yeah, that seems pretty unfortunate as just a straight-up nerf bet demolishing.
But, I mean, come on. they sort of had it coming. Super OP.
Like, Rare Appealing is a really good spell. True. Focus Will now procs when the priest is critically hit. Grace is no longer limited to one target at a time, which is pretty good.
That's a very interesting change.
Yeah. So being able to stack Grace on multiple targets is just a straight upgrade. Pain Suppression is no longer dispellable, which is awesome. Because previously it reduced the percentage of things being dispelled off of you by 45%, but it was still dispellable, which is no good being one of the ways to just not die.
That's interesting.
So, yeah. Chakra changed quite a bit on a lot of different things. Chakra now lasts, the states themselves last 1 minute up from 30 seconds.
I think that's a little bit overkill.
You think so? I don't know.
I do.
I guess I never had any issues with it previously, but it may be a little much. You can still, I guess it depends. It doesn't say the cooldown has changed, so you can still change states after 30 seconds.
Yeah.
So that's really the big deal anyway.
Yeah, so it's like, I don't know, the way I see it, you don't really need to, you know, have a longer chakra state. I guess it just helps with the micromanaging aspect of it a little bit.
Yeah, you don't have to, although there's always been like a power aura-esque thing that I have popping up when that happens, so it's kind of tough to miss.
Yeah.
Binding Heal and Holy Word Serenity now refresh the duration of renewing the target in addition to other direct heals.
Solid.
Yep. Binding Heal, Flash Heal, Greater Heal now trigger Chakra Serenity, which is
also
really
huge.
Really, really good. Because the lone heal that previously did it was Heal. Or it was, it was Heal. And so you had to cast Heal. So there was no way to be flexible at all. There was just, you wanted to be in Serenity, you had to use Heal, no matter what the circumstances. And so that's upsetting, you know, especially if you had to choose between saving someone and or getting into your chakra state, which shouldn't be for the most part.
No, agreed. That's a great buff.
Yeah. And Mind Spike can now trigger Chakra Chastise as well. Figured to throw that one in there. Circle of Healing effectiveness has been increased by 30%.
There you go. I mean, again, it's just like with the rest of Druids. With their buffs to wild growth, this is the same thing. I'm really actually concerned that we're going to go back to, you know, having Holy Priests be Renew bots, spamming Circle of Healing on cooldown, and having rest of Druids do the same with Rejuve and Wild Growth.
Yeah. It's interesting. Just which ones they're choosing to downgrade and which ones they're choosing to upgrade.
Yeah.
I like this one. Desperate Prayer now heals the priest for 30% of their total health, up from a very subpar value. It's so subpar that they're not even willing to tell you how much it was because it was so terrible.
You know, having played a dwarf priest for a while, and then a human priest, like Desperate Prayer has always been one of my favorite racials for a priest. So I'm really pleased that's seeing some love now that it's a talent.
Yeah, that's very true. And then I guess it was, there's not too much exciting in Shadow. Vampiric Embrace now lasts until canceled. Previously it was a 30-minute buff. There's a bunch of bug fixes, but I figured for O, the Lightwell's health has been increased by 50%. Which is purely for PvP purposes, as they state here.
That's hilarious. It's got health.
Yep, it does, and it can be killed, and it should be killed in PvP.
Oh, well, so. I'm glad it's immune to things like, you know, Massacre and Caustic Slime.
Yeah, that would be unfortunate. Yeah, so that's a pretty good chunk of the priest ones. I guess next we have Rogue.
Again, disclaimer, my Rogue is level 5, it's my bank alt, and Magix is in his 70s.
Yeah, I think he is 70. Exactly 70. I guess the first thing under here is blind that has a PvP duration of 8 seconds, and this is the same thing with every single form of crowd control that's on the list. It just didn't mention it. The same thing with all buffs being readjusted to gift every PvP, sap, and blind, and sheep have all been reset to 8 seconds.
That's just a PvP duration, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Smoke bomb now lasts for 5 seconds down from 10. Now, thankfully, I haven't had too much run in with this, which means that I've had very lucky arenas because I hate playing against rogues. But I guess previously it was a little too powerful or a little too ridiculous, 10 seconds on smoke bomb.
Here's a confession, I have no idea what that even looks like.
Wow. For raids, I guess that kind of makes sense, but interesting. It looks like a smoke bomb, and you can't target people inside of it. Or people inside can't target people outside. So it's very interesting, but 10 seconds does seem like a pretty extreme duration, and I'd have to guess that if I had faced more of them, I'd be swearing up and down about it.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Blade Flurry is now a toggle that can be turned off by pressing the button again. In addition, it no longer has a fixed duration, but will go on cooldown for 10 seconds after being canceled. So, in addition, it now reduces energy generation by 30%, up from 20%. So previously, it was a cooldown you could hit to hit an additional target. I forget if it's one or two additional targets. I haven't played my rogue in that long. But now it's something you can keep on, I guess, for trash packs that are including more than one target where you want to be AoEing.
Wow. Okay. That's interesting.
Yeah. I guess it's yet to be seen if it's a sort of a side grade because it's reducing your energy generation a little bit more, but at the same time, it's not on a cooldown and it doesn't have a set amount of time.
Yeah. If I were a rogue, I think I would be very intrigued by that change.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm spending a lot of time at training dummies.
A lot of changes. Glyph of Groat increases duration. Find weakness is different stuff. I guess one of the other big PvP ones is preparation no longer resets the cooldown of evasion, which means that rogues won't get two evasions in a very short period of time, which I don't know. Again, I've been healing in PvP for so long that, and I haven't been melee DPSing that it hasn't made a huge difference to me, but that seems unfortunate for them.
Well, that's not just a PvP nerf, but it's also a PvE nerf. Imagine all those rogues evasion tanking. Granted,
true.
I know prep is in
subtlety. Is in subtlety, so there aren't too many of those, unfortunately.
But still.
Yeah. There's not, it doesn't even look like there's a huge number of rogue changes for the most part, but again, there's a lot of percentages changing up and down, so if you are playing a rogue, take a good look at that, because lots of changes.
Definitely.
Well, again, not a ton, but lots that are not exactly popping out to me, but talents changing on percentages and such.
Let's see, Shaman. Purge only removes one effect, not two. That's gone.
That's sad. The priest one dispelled didn't change, did it?
I don't think so.
Weird. That's an interesting change.
Let's see, they're buffing Chain Heal, Earthquake, Lava Burst, Wind Fury weapon procs, and this is the big thing that stood out for me, obviously as a healer. Manatide Totem has been changed significantly yet again. Now it's raid-wide, which I think everybody is super excited about. And it now ups everyone's spirit by 400% of the spirit the casting shaman has. But it doesn't include short-term buffs, like from Heart Song or from Trinkets or what have you.
Gotcha.
It's like just the flat-out spirit that they have. So that's... I know that the shaman themselves are probably not thrilled by that because they're having to like sort of stack spirit for the benefit of the raid, but at least it really is for the benefit of the raid. Every single mana user in the raid is going to be like, yeah.
Yeah, that, I mean, even for mages, like fire has been kind of draining on the mana pool, and any extra amount that you can get is always helpful.
Yeah, for sure.
Anything else exciting under shamans?
I don't really know enough about Shaman to really attest to that. I mean, like, it looks like everyone's getting at least a slight buff. I know that the Spirit Walker's Grace is getting changed from 10 to 15 seconds, but some people are arguing that it shouldn't be that they're getting buffed in that sense, but that it should have a shorter cooldown on it, like a lower duration. So from 10 to, like, I don't know, 6 or 7 seconds, but it should be usable more than once every 2 or 3 minutes or whatever it is currently.
Gotcha. Interesting. All right. Well, then what do we have after shamans? We have warlocks.
Again, I don't know anything about warlocks. It's like, give me a soul stone, thanks.
Yeah. Well, the first thing that you have pointed out is that mono drain is going away, and I am so happy.
Well, I think every single person with a mana bar in the game who has spent any amount of time doing any kind of PvP is thrilled by that.
Yeah, that seems awesome. Just because mono burn, you know, at least you have to keep an LOS on the target, but drain was just so good. Although it's going to make our friend Dark Guido very sad.
Oh, the drain is going to be, like, so upset.
Yes, it's so much so because his name is the drain specifically from Mana.
Yeah.
That is just depressing.
Yeah, poor Guido.
Oh, well. What else?
Hellfire's Radius is no longer expanded by Inferno, so say goodbye to all that really elite, big distance, big range AoE from Hellfire and stuff. Like, that's gone.
Is the damage being reduced on that, or just the distance?
I think it's the distance. There could be other changes in the notes that I'm not aware of that, like, I can't sort of link to Hellfire and stuff, but I know that the biggest reason that they were able to do so much AoE is because they were just hitting so many targets.
Interesting. Yeah, I see actually going down into, like, Demo and Destruction, there's a lot of just straight nerfs. Immolation Aura damage reduced by roughly 30%. Fellstorm, Felguard damage has been reduced by 20%. Burning Embers and Destruction reduced by 15%.
Yeah, so there's a lot of nerfs. There's some changes there. There are a couple of buffs, I think. But, you know, as a raid leader, all that I really know is that their elite AoE is, you know, going by the wayside along with drain mana. So, sad panda.
Well, thankfully we haven't had to rely on drain mana for any current, you know, end game raid bosses since Marley. Which is a good thing.
Yeah, you're right. Jeez.
Exactly. And I guess our last class is warriors.
Again, don't know a whole lot about warriors. I've got a 75 warrior, and that's about it.
What did you see that stuck at you the most?
It looks like Fury's getting a bit of a buff. Single Mind Fury bonus damage is up to 20% from 15, so that gives you more options. Cleave and Heroic Strike damage, though, is reduced by 20%. But Recklessness has been changed. It's weird. You used to have 100% chance to crit for the next 3 hits, but mm-hmm. now you're going to have 50% chance for the full 12-second duration. So you might not crit the whole time, but it looks like that's going to be a damage buff.
Interesting.
Yeah, and Slam and Bloodthirst were definitely buffed as well. But really, definitely check out the patch notes, because what we know about warriors collectively is
pretty low.
Pretty sad.
Non-existent.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, there are also a whole bunch of fixes and changes for PvE and PvP.
Yeah,
there are,
like,
item
lots
changes,
of instances. Stuff.
Lots of stuff. So we're not going to talk about that now. We might do a quick rundown of them next week, I guess.
I guess we're probably running a little long at this point, I'd have to guess.
I think so. And yeah. So how about we wrap this up?
Oh, that sounds like a plan.
All right. So, for our shout outs this week, my shout out is to Dayton for frapsing and encoding and uploading some recent boss kills for us. Maluriak and Atremedia should both be up at YouTube, so we'll include the link to our channel in the show notes over at blessingoffrost.com.
Yes, go visit blessingoffrost.com. Blessingoffrost.com. Good stuff. my shout-out is to Mabrium for just being awesome. That is all.
Not that I disagree, but okay.
Yes!
Alright, tip of the week time. This week's tip is don't forget to update your add-ons, and then still make sure to click on the load out-of-date add-ons before you log into the game after patching.
Very important.
We'd love to hear your tips of the week. If you have any you'd like to share or hear any feedback you might have, email us at podcast@blessingoffrost.com. Let us know what you thought. You can also follow Apotheosis and myself on Twitter. Follow @ApotheosisET and @KernMoog. We are working out the glitches with iTunes. They don't seem to have realized that we've moved yet. We are working on that.
We'll get it. We'll get them eventually. If it weren't for those damn kids.
Oh, those meddling kids. Well, that brings us to the end of our 9th episode. I'm Kern.
And I'm Magic.
Until next time, stay frosty. Blessing of Frost is a not-for-profit World of Warcraft podcast by Kern and Magic, copyright 2011. Certain audio portions of this podcast belong entirely to Blizzard Entertainment, and no copyright infringement is intended. Thanks to our Gildy Numenal for the use of his voice in our intro, and thanks to you for listening.